Genesis chapter 19, we're going to begin in verse number 15. Verse number 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plains. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed me unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now the city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. What we have here is the description, the description of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. One would have to agree that today we are living in a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. Things haven't changed. They're still the same. There's still rampant homosexuality going on. You realize every 42 seconds of every minute of every day, a woman is being raped in America? Every 42 seconds. That's the depravity of this nation. That's the depravity of this world. Truly, we need to keep our eyes and our focus on God. What we have here, we see Lot being spared from the destruction that's coming, and all they've got to do is they've got to leave Sodom and Gomorrah behind them. Just leave it. Go. Don't look back. Keep going. But Lot's wife, this must have been a very sad day for Lot. I can only imagine it. And really, I don't want to think that much about it. But we have to think about it, because this is what God asks us to do. He wants us to come up out of this world. He wants us to be separate from this world. He doesn't want us taking part in this depravity. Because let's face it, if you're going to be honest with God, if you're going to be honest with yourself, Satan makes sin look real good. He makes everything look so awesome. If you can just do this, just touch it, it's going to be, that's going to just fulfill your life. But look what happened. Lot's wife looked back. Okay? The warning was, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Okay? The question I have today, what are we looking back at? What is that one little thing of the world that we just can't get rid of? What is that one little thing that just captures us? You think about it. Paul gave the same warning in 2 Corinthians 6:17 when he said, "Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate." We're not to be part of this world. When God saved us, we turned that 180 degrees and we were supposed to be going the other way. Did he say in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if thou will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, but go ahead and drag just a couple of bags with you? Okay? That's not what it says. You're to leave it all behind. So we have that warning. But I want you to see what Lot did here. And he said unto the angels, excuse me, and those that took him out of the city, he made a bargain. Basically, he wanted what he wanted. He said, Oh, not so, my Lord. Now behold, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy. Basically, he said, I cannot escape up into that mountain. Bid me to go to this little city. Isn't it such a little city? Surely you can spare this city. That city's name was Zoar. Isn't this just like us? Say, God, we want what you want, but just let me keep this little bit. That's where our problems start, and that's where we mess up. Because you see, when we bring our cares to this altar and we leave them at the feet of God, somehow they're still attached and they drag with us. Or we go running back, wait, I got a way to figure this out. We pick it up and we try and fix it. And guess what? We mess it up even worse. So, as I was reading through this passage, I thought to Lord, what is there in my life that I am not giving up for you? What is hindering me from fully giving everything I have and everything that I am to you? Because let's face it, God created us. God made us. He knows every molecule of our body, every atom, every strand of DNA, everything he knows about us. He's got the blueprint for our lives. He knows us so well, he knows the numbers of hairs on our head. On some, it's easy because it's maybe one or two. Like me, that's where it's headed. But you know, this same God who knows me knows this world. He knows every grain of sand, and he can number them just like that. He knows the names of all the stars. This is God. This is who has asked us to put our 100% trust in him. Think about it. Today, we are facing so much in this world that none of us thought we would ever face. I'm thinking back as we read this passage today. I'm thinking back to the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. It was a real simple instruction when they built the tabernacle and they were to light the incense and they or the candles and they were to do the incense, that there was a certain mixture that God had. That mixture could not have, you can't deviate from it. Because he warned them, if it does, surely there's going to be a consequence. Our lives today, isn't that what God is telling us? Look, I just want you to trust me, is what God is saying. Give it all to me, not just a little part. Give it all. Today in this world, like I said, we got all kinds of things happening. And a lot of Christians, our brothers and sisters, are falling because they've taken their eyes off of God. You remember Peter? Peter walking on the water, as long as he was looking at the wart, at Jesus, he stayed on top of that water. But the minute that he took his eyes off, he sank. And Jesus reached down and pulled him up. You see, God's there. If we fall, he's going to pull us up. But understand, there's consequences. Nadab and Abihu, what happened with them? They were consumed by fire. They were destroyed. Can you imagine Adam's heartache? Or Aaron's heartache? Excuse me. That must have been a sad day for him. But they were warned. They were told, don't do this. But they did it. We're being told today, trust God. Take your hands out of it. Let me be God. And sure enough, a lot of people just can't help but meddle. They can't help but put their hands in it. Folks, it's encouraging to know that when we finally get it through our heads that God's got this, he'll get us through it. Because remember the saying, Pastor Jim has used it, others have used it, if God gets us to it, he'll get us through it. That's the fact. That's life. God knew we needed help with sin. He knew that we would all be sinners, that we're all born sinners, and he sent the way for us to get to him, and that was his son, Jesus Christ. So if he's willing to do that, what more is he willing to do to help us out of the despair that we are in right now? I don't know what's in everyone's life. I can only speak with what's happening in mine. But I'm telling you, when I step back, I pull my hands off, and I let God work, he takes care of everything. And I make it through somehow. And I just get to the other side, and I praise his name, because that's what he wanted us to do in the first place. But some of us are so hard-headed, we just gotta, God, this one's bigger than you, God. There's nothing too big for my God.